From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. I will be joined today by Naps Executive Vice President, Ivan Butts. But first, let's review some postal news from this past week. First, Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee Chairman Gary Peters of Michigan and Committee Ranking Republican Rob Portman of Ohio introduced S-1720, a Senate companion to H.R. 3076, the Postal Service Reform Act of 2021. H.R. 3076 was approved by the House Oversight and Reform Committee last week by voice vote, as was mentioned in last week's Snaps Chat. S-1720 and H.R. 3076 are identical. The Senate bill was introduced with 19 bipartisan co-sponsors, 8 of whom are members of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, and that's 8 of the 14-member committee. In addition, it is noteworthy that the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, Ron Wyden of Oregon, is also a co-sponsor of the legislation. As Naps Chat listeners know, one of the key elements of the postal relief legislation has been Medicare integration, and the chairman of the Committee of Jurisdiction over Medicare, Ron Wyden, that's a game changer in terms of consideration of this type of legislation. Also this week, Representative Jackie Speier of California and Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon introduced companion bills, the Postal Service Shipping Equity Act, H.R. 3287 by Representative Speier and S-1663 by Senator Merkley. These two bills would permit, under certain circumstances, the United States Postal Service to ship alcoholic beverages to consumers. As I mentioned, today's returning guest is Ivan Butts. I'd like to talk to Ivan about a meeting we had this week with House Oversight and Reform Committee Chairwoman Maloney. This follows a meeting that Ivan and I had with Ranking Committee Republican James Comer a number of weeks ago. So Ivan, first, welcome back to Naps Chat.
Thanks, Bob.
And now, could you share some of the content of the meeting that we had with the chairwoman the other day?
Yeah, we met with Leader Maloney, and really, we just really wanted to thank her and congratulate her on this legislative victory that she had with her introducing her two bills, H.R. 3076 and H.R. 3077, and have them come out of committee immediately under voice vote. That's a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment. I know we talk about, or I've talked about it as kind of a skinny bill as far as 3076 does for the Postal Service. But again, with the earmark of, you know, saving the Postal Service $42 billion over 10 years, that is a tremendous amount of money that the Postal Service will be able to put back into hopefully put back into operations and service improvement initiatives, but we'll have to see about that. But the conversation with Leader Maloney was really kind of centered around that, but we focused on a lot of things with the Postal Service. We talked about service. We talked about the initiatives that we need to see from the Postal Service with improving service and maintaining service. Again, some I like the transparency issue with the barcodes on ballots for transparency reasons and the pluses and minuses of that. And again, I think that's probably a good thing. Anytime we can be transparent as an agency, as one of the most trusted federal agencies, it really just adds to our credibility. So, and it doesn't really seem like that's a major issue, but I understand that's going to get some pushback.
She also extended her appreciation to NAPS members for helping to promote her legislation, H.R. 3076, to help restore a financial foundation for the Postal Service. Could you talk about that? And I know that folks out of Branch 100, which is in New York City, were extremely aggressive in helping to promote the chairwoman's work, as well as NAPS members around the country.
Yeah, I think it really was a effort or total effort from all over the country to help promote it. But yeah, her constituents up in New York, she really appreciates all your work and what you're doing to help her in her leadership role and help her in supporting this legislation. And then she needs your help also, you know, as our upcoming primary is going to come up, you know, pretty quick, and she's going to need your help. You know, we remember her last primary, how close that was, and it really took almost a week before we even got the final results of that. So, you know, our representative who's really standing up for us as postal employees really needs our support and backing as she heads into her next campaign. So let's reach out to her.
What she also remembers is her first campaign, where the postal groups and NAPS were extremely supportive of her as she went in a general election against a sitting member of Congress who actually was supporting privatizing the United States Postal Service. So she remembers her friends.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know that story until she mentioned that while we were on the call. So yes, she does have a place for the Postal Service in her heart and the employees of the Postal Service. So we're very appreciative of Leader Maloney and her efforts.
She has worked very closely in particularly H.R. 3076 with her Republican colleague, the ranking Republican on the committee, James Comer of Kentucky. And you and I had a conversation with the ranking Republican not too long ago, before the consideration of this legislation, before the markup. And he stressed bipartisanship in moving such a legislation. Could you share some insight into that conversation?
Well, you know what? In reality, what Representative Comer, what he was talking about, he was just talking about bipartisan. He was just talking in general. How can they be more bipartisan up on the Hill in working and getting things done for America, which I thought was very like a noble thing to hear a representative say, that we got to figure out how do we work together. So my point that I brought up to him, if you really want to look at something, you got to look at something that's bipartisan, that both parties can get behind, because it's the right thing to do and they know it's the right thing to do for their constituents. And that is our postal issues. That is postal reform. That's H.R. 3076 and H.R. 3077. If you want to have bipartisanship and you feel that we need to have a bipartisan effort to show America that our legislators are working for America, those are two prime bills that support that. So I'm glad Representative Comer has definitely has signed on and has gotten behind Leader Maloney's legislation and kind of, hopefully, you know, I'm not taking all the credit, but again, that was my talking points for Postal Service issues are bipartisan, because we represent all of America. We serve all of America, Democrat, Republican, Independent, urban, suburban, rural. So we touch the whole country. So a postal issue is a bipartisan issue because it's for all of America.
One of the issues, taking on that point, Ivan, one of the issues that we spoke about with Chairwoman Maloney, and she mentioned to us, was the creation of this Congressional Postal Caucus that she is co-chairing with Virginia Fox from North Carolina, who a Republican from a fairly rural area of North Carolina, and she was pressing the rural message and the importance of the Postal Service to rural America and how that should be a major talking point, particularly amongst the Republican members of the House.
Well, you know what, Bob, and Ms. Fox, Representative Fox, is absolutely correct, but that's something we've been doing for years now, really. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, that's been one of our chief talking points. Unfortunately, when the Postal Service initiates one of their cuts, and when they try to cut service or cut plants or cut facilities, you know, we have to remind our legislators of the impacts that's going to have on rural America. They're always going to be more drastic impact to rural America than it is for suburban and urban areas. So, you know, that's something we've been saying for years, and I'm glad to hear that Representative Fox has an understanding of that and wants to make sure that we consider that also.
Also, I, during our conversations, we were talking that the new chairperson of the House Republican Caucus, Ellie Stefanik from upstate New York, was a member of the Rural Congressional Caucus a number of years ago. She's probably still a member of it. And at that point in time, she took a pretty strong interest on the Postal Service. We hope to re-engage her in that conversation about the Postal Service because she's a member of the House leadership now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we really do need to reach out to Representative Stefanik. Because again, you know, when we say that, you know, postal issues are America issues, they really are. And what we're trying to do is make sure that we have a sustainable postal service as we move forward for all of America. And again, I honor any representative who wants to join us in that fight.
Let's get back to the legislation that was approved by the House committee last week, and the Senate introduced its companion bill this week. And that's the core of the H.R. 3076 are two provisions. The first is repeal of the pre-funding requirement for future retiree health retirees. And secondly, was Medicare integration for future postal retirees. Now, the Postal Service projects that the combination of these two provisions would save the agency about $44 billion over the next decade, which comes out to around $4.4 million per year, $1 billion per year. What do you think this means to the Postal Service to have that savings or that the ability to use that amount of money for?
Well, operationally, I'm sure it's you know, if you're going to put $4.4 billion back into have available for a budget, I mean, obviously that's a good thing. I mean, we don't know with everything that's going on, we don't know how that's going to play out. But obviously, it has to be an advantage to the agency to have this $4.4 billion that hopefully they can put back into operations and put back into service and try to restore some of the things that have been lost over the years for America.
Well, I know the mailers are rather excited about that because part of what was baked into the current rate case was the pre-funding requirement. And if that is taken off the table, that could somehow mitigate the postage increase that they were anticipating in 2021 and moving forward when they create the new postal regime or postal rate setting system, because that's no longer going to be part of it. So that hopefully will help mitigate any type of mail diversion as a result of increased postage.
Yeah, we could hope if we can gather those savings and then not have to or seek a rate increase or as much of a rate increase. Obviously, the mailers would be happy with that, and as well as our customers if they're going to be impacted by a rate hike also. But still, even being said, the rate for mailing a letter is still the best in the world, and we're still delivering to every household in America 6 days a week and sometimes seven with parcels.
One of the provisions in H.R. 3076 and S-1720 is a requirement that the Postal Service create an online portal where postal customers can evaluate postal performance. This was promoted, as I understand, by Congressman Comer, part of the legislation. I'm not sure how granular the data will be, but what impact do you think such transparency will have on the postal headquarters?
Well, you know what? I think it could put some pressure on us as an agency to perform better and to address poor performance. But overall, I think it gives our consumers a tool to really see how we're doing with their mail. So I'm not, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm against it, and I don't know if I'm for it. I think, you know, anything that's really, you know, has to deal with transparency, I think we kind of lean towards, you know, we don't have anything to hide. We're delivering, you know, for our customers every day. So, you know, that's what we do. Do we have issues? Have we had issues with COVID-19? And obviously we had employee availability issues that have really hurt us. And we saw that from the data that we got from the state of New York out of the court case. So now I understand, you know, that some of this is that now the Postal Service is not required to submit that data. So now the transparency of our service scores is really not there. So again, you know, I don't personally have an objection to that provision. I'm sure there's probably some in the leadership of the agency that objects to it. But, you know, we got to be transparent.
Now, as we mentioned, there were two bills that were favorably reported by the House Oversight and Reform Committee. One was H.R. 3076, which we spent some time talking about, and the other was H.R. 3077. Could you talk a little bit about the second bill, which has garnered considerably less attention, but would have a substantial impact on NAPS members and on postal operations?
Yes. 3077 really is really critical for NAPS, for us and our members. I mean, it contains the language that we've seen in H.R. 1623 and H.R. 1624, two bills that were introduced by our champion, Representative Jerry Connolly. One was co-sponsored by Mike Bosch, and that would be H.R. 1623. And then 1624 was co-sponsored originally by Representative McKinley out of West Virginia. So 1623, that deals with, you know, our consultative rights, the fairness of EAS pay in that process. So, you know, and addresses the timeliness of when we sit down and meet for our pay talks. And again, you know, we feel that we should not have to wait 45 days after the largest union ratifies their contract. That was a provision 40 years ago, and that's definitely time to change that and fix that. And then the other issue, obviously the big issue is about what happens if we do come to an impasse and have to go to fact-finding, and that is that the findings of that fact-finding panel be binding to both parties, you know, not just supposed to, but binding to us also. There's a lot of tremendous amount of resources that go into putting on a fact-finding case, finances that are expended, work hours on the postal side and finance that are being expended. So then those that we feel that those, the outcome of that should be binding on both parties. And then the other bill, which would be H.R. 1624, that was what amended to it, is our MSPB rights for all EAS. This is something we've been fighting for a number of years. I've talked about it to you on these podcasts over and over. Again, the 7,500 or about 7,500 EAS that we have in the Postal Service that don't have rights to MSPB in adverse action cases due to just procedurally being left out when that law was put into place, and this bill would correct that. So there are two very big pieces. So we want to we do want to continue to support H.R. 3076, and we want to drive that, but we want to drive H.R. 3077 too. So, you know, we're going to be looking for support from around the country to really try to help us drive both pieces of legislation, hopefully to the finish line. I was talking in Wisconsin over the last weekend at their convention, and I told them, you know, we've moved the ball. We moved the ball from the 20 to field goal range, you know, and that's the farthest we've moved this ball in years. Quite a number of years, even before I came up here as your executive vice president. But we don't want to stop there. We want to keep moving this and driving this ball and try and get it into the end zone. So,
Yeah, as I said, there were two bills, 3076 and 3077, in the House. 3076, the first legislation that we were talking about, was referred also to the House Ways and Means Committee and the House Energy and Commerce Committee because there are implications with regard to Medicare. However, H.R. 3077, which we just spoke about, is not referred to any other committee. So it's straight to the floor. I mean, it would have to be scheduled, of course, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have to worry about other referrals or other committees' jurisdictions. What's the significance of that?
I think that's very significant that that this bill doesn't need to go to any other committee. So that makes it a little cleaner, really, to get on the floor and to be debated and to be voted on. And then passed on to the Senate. So you know, I think that puts our legislation really in a really good place. And I'll be honest, I was excited when I heard about Leader Maloney's bills, and this is why, because I think it really puts NAPS in a position to really move real legislation designed to improve the working life of EAS forward. And we've been fighting for it for a long time, and it looks like we got a real shot of maybe getting it there.
Okay, so I'm going to ask, this is the obvious question. How confident are you that there will be a postal relief bill in 2021?
I'm optimistic, and I'd like to feel like I'm always optimistic. But look, the reality is I think we're we're further down the field than we ever been. So we're close. So there's some justification for a little excitement. But there also needs to be our steadfast commitment to doing whatever we need to do to help drive this over the finish line.
Now, Ivan, since we last spoke, the Senate has confirmed Ron Strowman and Amber McReynolds as members of the Postal Board of Governors, yet Anton Neja is still pending on the Senate calendar. Now, I understand you had a conversation with one of the newest members of the Board of Governors, Ron Strowman. Can you share us some insight as to what happened on that call?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I just wanted to reach out to Ron Strowman. I mean, you know, we have a friendship, as you guys know, out there. When he was Deputy Postmaster General, I've talked to you and I've said before how, you know, Ron, when I first got up here as Executive Vice President, he sat down and we would have lunches together and he would help me to get acclimated to this role of representing NAPS legislatively up on the Hill and things to do. So I really wanted to just congratulate him on being appointed to the Board of Governors and wishing him the best as he performed in this role coming up. So we talked about the board and what the board needs to do and how, you know, we have to be able to get more transparency from the Postal Service. The BOG needs to have some more transparency as they move forward in getting data and understanding. And then he asked, you know, for our support, you know, to kind of be able to kind of talk about issues in the real world kind of sense, boots on ground. And that's something you guys know I love because you guys give me boots on ground analysis. So passing that kind of boots on ground analysis on will be definitely favorable, and not for NAPS. It'll be favorable for America's Postal Service, and that's really what this is all about. This is all about America's Postal Service and keeping it sustainable.
Final question, Ivan. Any news about NAPS's upcoming convention in Grapevine, Texas?
No, everything's moving forward. You know, guys, we're looking at the pandemic and with COVID-19, the vaccines that are available seems to be having some good impacts and reducing numbers of cases, and things are starting to open up a lot more around the country. So we're really anticipating the ability to really have a normal convention in Grapevine, Texas. So, you know, obviously we're taking the precautions. We're going to make sure, you know, everyone has there's hand sanitizers and stations in the building. We're going to make sure we give you hand sanitizers, make sure you have a mask. and those kind of things. So we want to still practice social distancing. We'll take all those precautions, but we really feel like the pandemic will be under much better control than it even is now, and even now it's under much better control than it was a month ago. So, we're continually preparing and moving forward. And I look forward to seeing as many of our members in Grapevine, Texas, as can come.
Ivan, I want to thank you for joining us today on Naps Chat.
Thank you, Bob.
And I want to thank you, our Naps Chat listeners, for logging on this week. If you enjoy Naps Chat, please leave us a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more importantly, share Naps Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
I'm going to bend right down and write myself a letter and make me